Pretty good. So, I'm back. So, would you all help me welcome Pastor David Mullins from Lighthouse Worship Center as he comes to give us a good, encouraging word. Maybe move it out for you.
Bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
So here you go.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Jennifer, stay right here. We got one little verse we're not finished with. Of course, that what a Savior, what a sacrifice. The song we just sang.
Tell me the story.
What a sacrifice that saved my life. It's the blood. You got to do that chorus right now.
Oh.
1 second. We're not done.
What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood of Jesus washes me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood of Jesus washes me.
Amen. Now we're good. Praise God. You didn't want me to do that, so I was going to give you some mercy and grace on that. Praise God. It's good to be with you this morning. I want to thank Grace Life. I want to thank Pastor Jamie, Pastor Lisa for this opportunity to come and be with my brothers and sisters. That, listen, just because you're sitting back there, you're not safe. And if you haven't heard me preach, I get right back in your grill. These people forgot the spit zone, so they're up close, but I can get you. I promise. I'm so excited. We just come out of revival. I preached revival up in Cedar Grove, and I be honest with you? I come to have church this morning. I know that I'm under house order to preach the Word of God, and I'm going to do that. Well, Jesus is. He's going to use this crazy vessel to do it, but I'm just silly enough to believe that when the Word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good, I tasted 17 years ago, and I'm still eating, John. He's still good. And I don't want to leave the table. And he is so good. And his promises are yes and amen. And I'm so thankful that I have a God that's never give up on me. Now, people will give up on you. You know, when you say, hey, will you remember me in prayer? And they're like, yeah. And they'll just say, remember them. Now, it's not kind of prayer. I'm talking about getting in your prayer closet, calling somebody's name out, expecting God to move. And I was blessed to see miracles take place at this revival. This one guy that was addicted to drugs, he got saved. He got turned around. I'm thanking God for that. And I'm thinking, he still does miracles. Do you all understand that the Lord Jesus still does miracles? If you don't, look across the room and look in the mirror, because that's the greatest miracle that you'll ever see in your life. If you know Jesus this morning, you're a miracle. Amen. And if you don't know him, there's a miracle waiting. You can know him today. And I'm so excited. And you know what? People, it's so funny because we all do this as pastors. We want a packed house every service. Can I just get an amen on that? From my mentor, Pastor James Wright, listen, we're not having church unless church is packed. And there's a reason it should be packed, because we serve a risen Savior. Amen. But it's so funny because a lot of pastors, when I come to preach, they're like, Pastor Dave, we're sorry. We got people out and people sick. And I'm like, did I ask you how many people were going to be there? I said, I don't get offended. I've spent 7 years on a part-time preaching for a little church that had 7 people. I drove 7 years, 45 minutes one way to preach to 7 people. You know why? Because those 7 people needed Jesus. They needed fed. Nobody would feed them. And I said, well, I'll go. And you know what? We had a service one time that had 15 people there. And I said, I told Pastor this, it was Maranatha back then, and we were in the prayer room, and I said, Pastor preached a message last night, and a third of the church got saved. He said, well, praise God. I said, we have 15 people, and 5 of them give their heart to Jesus. We said, hallelujah. God is still saving, amen. Praise God. So I'm here to have church, and I'm going to have church. Whether you do or not, I'm having church, praise God. Because I come, and I told Pastor Jamie last night, we didn't talk about the ball game. I said, I'm just thankful for the twins. And he's like, there's a little pause there. I said, you know, grace and mercy, the twins. Anybody thankful for grace and mercy? Amen. Thankful to be at Grace Life this morning. I would ask you to stand with me just for a minute while we read the Word of God. If you're able to stand, if you're not, that's okay. We're in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and we're going to read the first 10 verses in verse 19 and 20. Now, let's remember the miracle of Samuel before we ever get started. Hannah prayed. Hannah got a miracle. She prayed for a son. She prayed for a child, right? And she made God this promise, Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him on loan back to you. Amen? That's what the promise was. And guess what God did? He gave her a son. And now we find Samuel as a young man being raised and taught about the Lord. Amen? So if you're with me, 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we're going to read the first 10 verses. Amen? Say amen. Amen. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Boy, that's a sad statement right now. I believe the word of the Lord is going out right now, and people are just not hearing it. Amen? Praise God. There was no frequent vision. Well, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people, amen, they die. We're not here. This is Grace Life. Amen? Praise God. And it came to pass, aren't you glad that it came to pass and not come to stay? At the time when Eli was lying down in his place and his eyes began to grow dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Would to God that God's people would say, here am I. It's not just Pastor Dave's job. It's not Pastor Lisa, not Pastor Jamie's job. We're one body, amen? We've got hands, feet, eyes, mouth. Oh, I'm a mouth now. Come on. Listen, you won't say it, but I will, praise God. But he can get you to go and minister, amen? Where are we at? Praise God. Verse 5, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again, and he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, and Samuel said, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. So here we go, verse 7. And Samuel did not know that the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He wasn't saved. He was taught about the Lord. And if you go back the previous chapter, it talks about he even wore a linen ephod. So he's learning the process of the priest. He's learning the rituals of the Lord. And I even throw one more out there. Verse 26 in chapter 2, it says, and the child Samuel grew and was in favor with both the Lord and with men. So God was raising him up to do a purpose. Amen? Say amen. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli had said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Verse 19, it says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would experience you this morning like we never have before. Father, it's a new day. You want to do a new thing. Praise God. We bless you in this house. May the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit be in an operation. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Speak your words, Father. May your voice be heard this morning and not mine. And I'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Have we had church already? Praise God, I feel good this morning, amen? So Samuel gets a call, and he thinks it's Eli hollering at him, and he finally realizes it's the Lord speaking to him. Now, the Lord had a purpose for Samuel. Obviously, in verse 19 and 20, his purpose was to raise him up to be a prophet, okay? That little verse 19, it says, and the Lord didn't let none of his words fall to the ground, means all these prophecies that he gave Samuel, he gave firsthand. Okay, he didn't have to read it on Fox News, and he got it firsthand from the Lord, and all of his prophecies were true. Amen. Eli had already been told this same prophecy and done nothing about it. His sons were vile before the Lord. They worshiped other gods. They were despicable. And Eli had to receive the same message he'd already heard once from the prophet Samuel as a young boy. He says, what did the Lord say to you, Samuel? Don't hold nothing back from me. Samuel began to tell him what he already knew, and he said, well, let the Lord have his way. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Responding to the Voice of God. And notice I didn't say hearing the voice of God. Because in the church today, hearing God's voice is not the problem, right? You know, James says in 1 and 22, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. See, right now on Sunday morning, all over the world, and probably Wednesday and Tuesday and Thursday, and whenever people have church, the word of God is going forth and people hear the word, but they're not doing the word. Amen. Ladies, help me for a minute, if you will. You know when you're talking to your husband or your boyfriend and the football game's on, say the Mountaineers are playing last night, and you know you're trying to talk to your husband and he's in the game or he's watching a movie or whatever, and you're like, you know 100% in your spirit that he doesn't hear a word you've been talking about the last 10 minutes. And the lady said, amen. And you're just like, And the number one line that the men always say is, I heard you. I heard you. And then the ladies always say, what I say then. And you know, about half the time we get it right. We just throw stuff at it like we're trying to make it up. But men, help us. You hear the voice, and we call that ratchet jaw sometimes, and we call it blah, 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 blah. But we actually, audibly, we do hear you, but we're not listening. Amen? I believe the word of the Lord is going forth every day somewhere on this people planet. And it's being heard, but it's not being heeded. Amen? So we've got a lot of hearers, but not a lot of doers in the church. Amen? I believe that when we come to God's house, we come to be in unity. So if you're not in unity with the reason we came today, I'm going to give you a second just to check yourself before you wreck yourself. We're here for Jesus. I love you, and I'm so glad you came this morning. But if you came for me, shame on you. I'm going to give you a chance to repent right now. We came for Jesus, one mind, one accord. When we come together, things happen. You know what happened in the upper room? Things happen. Why? One place, one mind, one accord, right? So I come to give you love and the love on you and tell you that our God can do anything. I was sharing with Pastor Lisa downstairs. I said, we just came out of revival, so I'm really stoked about seeing God do amazing things and miracles. And so I'm a faith preacher, basically. I want to sow seeds of faith into you today. You say, well, I'm already saved. Well, that's great. But I'm trying to cultivate your faith. I'm trying to get you to stretch your faith, you know? You remember when Jonah got the word of the Lord and he said, arise and go to Nineveh. And he said, no, boom, and he ran. And after all that nastiness he had to go through, and they threw him off the boat, and he ended up in the well. And the Bible says the well vomited him up. I mean, hello, that's gross. But then he repented of all that. And then guess what? The Lord spoke to him again and said, arise, ha ha, and go to Nineveh. Whoa, whoa, he didn't change his mind, right? So the Lord has an assignment for all of us to visit, to call somebody. Oh, with this day and time, we text, everybody got a text. You know, people want to FaceTime me. And I'm like, first of all, I could see you, but you'll never see me. I am like the Roadrunner. Are you kidding me? You need a GoPro to catch me up here like this. You're not going to catch me. I'm on the run, man. I don't have time to be like. And if they would have put a chain and made me stand behind this, I would have already went to heaven. Just plow, like a rocket ship, okay? I listen, the Lord wants to move you today. He wants to move you today. And I'm thankful that we serve a God that can do anything. Amen? Do you believe God still does miracles? We were blessed to pray with a lady that had a horrible, horrible thing happened to her. She told me that she saw her mom and her sister killed in a car wreck. And she had suffered nightmares, tormented in her sleep, dreams, just, you know how the devil, he's a liar. He lies to us and he tries to steal, kill, and destroy us. But God said, I come to give you life, hallelujah, and more, that are more abundantly into the full. And she come forward to pray at the end of service, and she said, first of all, when I saw her coming, the Lord had already told me earlier when they were praying, when they were practicing in praise team practice, that she needed to pray. And I said, oh, good, I'm going to go pray with her. And he said, stay still, she's going to come to you. I said, okay. You know, I'm like that. I'm always like this. I'm ready to go. Could be one of those, if I had some speed, I would like to run, but you know. But so she said, the Lord said, she's going to come to you and pray. And I said, okay. So at the end of the service, she come forward. And right off the bat, the Holy Spirit, and it's about from me, Pastor Lisa, I said, now, first of all, we should have already taken care of this before service started. Am I right? And she laughing and crying. And yes, Pastor, I should have already prayed. I knew when you looked at me that the Lord wanted me to go pray. I'm sorry. I said, you're here now. Let's pray. So she tells me this story, and then all of a sudden we begin to pray. I said, Amanda, you got to let it go. I said, you cannot allow, God will never take that from you as long as you want to carry it. Now, I don't know what you guys have been through, and I'm sure how many, by the raise of hand, we've been through some stuff in our lifetime, amen? Some people more than others, some people more than others. I said, but there's, what I find that there's that one little place in your heart that you've locked out, and you've hid the key from the Lord, so you think. Lord, I'll give you every access to my heart, but we won't talk about that one room. We won't talk about that one room, because if I open that door up, that's going to open up to a lot of pain. We don't like to hurt, right? We don't like. Listen, I hate it. I hate to suffer. I hate all that. I said, but you know, if you're coming to Jesus, you've got to bring it all. You got to bring all your baggage, and you got to lay it down. And so I said, Amanda, you got to open your heart, even that painful part. We got to. Jesus already knows where the key is. He's the key. You just have to say, yes, Lord, go on in that room and clean it out and get rid of that pain, that suffering, that anguish, all those things. I have no idea what she's going through. I don't pretend to know what she's going through. Only Jesus knows what she's suffering. I said, but I know this. I know God can take it from you if you'll just trust him. And we prayed about 20 minutes, the first 10 minutes. You know when you're struggling and you're in pain and you've been praying for that one thing and it never seems like it's ever going to happen? That you wear that on your face. Like when you're in pain, you grimace a little bit. You got these lines in your forehead and it just weighs you down, amen? About 10 minutes, I said, Amanda, you got to let go. You just got to let go. And all of a sudden, and I'm not saying it was a bolt of light that shined around her face, and she lit up the church, and we all sang hallelujah, but her countenance changed. And the Lord began to bring healing and remove that. And I could see her face went from anguish to peace. And that was only because she let Jesus come in and remove that. So she told me she had carried that for 17 years. I thought it had just been a short time. And she said, Pastor, I've carried that for 17 years. I said, well, thank God he's still doing miracles. Amen. If we're ever going to get anywhere in life, you know, to respond to the voice of God, there's four things that we must do before we can respond to God. Amen? And I got them wrote down. And you know, I am not, there's two people on this people planet that preach like alliteration. And that is my mentor, Pastor James Wright, Dr. Wright, the most phenomenal. I have heard him preach Bartimaeus. See, he ain't blind anymore, just so you know. People say, you know that story about blind Bartimaeus? He ain't blind, people. He got healed, praise God. I've heard that man preach that message I don't know how many times. It may be double or triple. Listen, first lady, she said, I'm going to preach it right now, Dave. Give me the microphone. I'm going to preach it right now. And I know she can. There's no doubt in my mind she can do it. But every time he preaches it, it's different. I'm like, how can it be different? He said, he calls him old Bart. It just blesses my soul. But we grew up, we believe that's what we're taught. And pastor preaches alliteration. My pastor, Pastor Richard Young, thank God for the Lighthouse allowing me to be here this morning. Amen. But they are the two just dynamic preachers that can preach like that. And I'm like, I don't preach like that. And I'm sitting there studying, and he says, well, you know, I give you the title, and it's responding to the voice of God, and I'm going to give you 4 points. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm right up there with, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not even going to say it. I guess I'm not. But I got 4 points. Are you with me? Say amen. All right, so number one, before you can respond, you must be reborn. Amen? You must be reborn. So John 3:3 says, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But listen to verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you got to be born again. You got to get saved. You got to put off the old and put on the new. Amen. We're believing for new birth. Praise God. Lisa's talking about the blood. Without the shedding of the blood, Jesus shed the blood. Now what you got to do, you need to apply it. Not walk by it. But apply it to your life and let him clean you up from the inside out. What I find that churches do is we want people to get saved, but then we want to tell them how to live. And I'm not opposed to somebody praying and giving godly counsel. That's what we're supposed to do. But this is what happens. They come up here and they get saved, and before they get to their seat, they've got a boss telling them, well, you can't go here, and you can't go here, and you can't say that, and you can't do this, you can't wear that, and you can't do that. And next thing you know, they get to their seat, and they're like, did I even get saved? And I say, shame on us. The Lord saves them, and the Lord can clean them. You know what our job is to? Pray for them and to help them. Okay, guide them. Not say, listen, I heard a pastor talk about this one guy got saved, had a Metallica shirt on. I know you probably don't even know who Metallica is, but it's a rock group. And they didn't sing very good songs sometimes. Just saying. But so the man gets saved, and the next service he comes back and he's still got that Metallica shirt on because he don't have any other clothes. Now listen, brother. Now, brother, you laid that down. What are you doing with that shirt on? He said, that's all I got. Never providing an avenue. I've got shirts. You got shirts. You want them to dress different, help them out. That may be all they have. Listen, we got to love people to Jesus, not club them, right? I see nowhere in Scripture Jesus carried a club and said, now you're going to accept me or else, okay? I'm going to knock somebody. No. He said, accept me. I can change your world if you'll just let me. You know what? Some people came, accepted him. He changed the world. Some people said, I'm not ready, and they went on. That's all we can do. We're seed planters. So if you don't know Jesus today, I'm planting a seed of faith in you, and I'm praying that either Pastor Lisa or Pastor Jamie, Pastor Wright, somebody will water that thing, but God's going to give the increase. Amen? I'm trusting that God watching, people here that are going to receive the word of God is going to get reborn. Amen? Number two, before you can respond, you must renew your mind. Amen? You must renew your mind. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So not only do you have to be born again, you got to let the Lord renew your mind. We don't think the same as Christians. We don't act the same. We don't hear the same. I hear different. Anybody been offended by watching TV? Woo! Glory! We got to lay that down. We got to love people. Because how many will just be honest for a second? We live in a jacked up world. That's Pastor Dave. That's the DMV, Dave Mullins version. It's jacked up. And if you let the world get on you, it'll make you feel dirty and you'll start acting just like them. But what we have to do is we have to turn the light on. We have to let them see Jesus in us, not because we're screaming back at them, you're wrong, you're going to hell. No, they're not there yet. There's an opportunity. We need to love them to Jesus. Amen. We need to renew our mind. I'm talking to Christians this morning. I don't know if you're lost this morning. We can get you saved. The Lord, I'll bring you right up here and introduce you to the greatest man you'll ever meet on this side and the other side of eternity. And his name is Jesus. But I'm talking to the church this morning. We need to renew what we're thinking this morning. Quit coming to Grace Life and hearing the word and start doing the word. And the church said, amen. The third thing we must do is we must rethink what we think about. Amen. If you get up tomorrow morning and you got to go to work or you got to go to town or you got to do whatever, and you're already thinking about what somebody said negative to you, then let me just tell you what Philippians says. Philippians says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whether the things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a lot. Whatever, 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 whatever. That's a lot of whatevers, right? But at the end of that, it's something good, honest, pure. That's what we need to focus on. That's who Jesus is. He's good. And listen, y'all remember them WWJD bracelets? Come on, how many of y'all had one? Y'all still wearing them? Why? Why'd y'all stop? Did he quit working? You mean that magic bracelet didn't do it? Honey, we don't need to ask what would Jesus do. Our question is, what would we do? Yeah. I know what Jesus would do if he's in the midst of his enemies. He's going to pray for them. He's going to love them to himself. What are we going to do? Let me tell you something. We're going to fight. No. We're going to fight on our knees. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to be about the Father's business and not worry about it. Listen, I know the world is awful, but we're still in it, and we're just passing through, right? We're in it for just a little while, and then we're going home. So while we're here, we're ambassadors to another country. So we need to be telling people about Jesus. We need to be loving him. Listen, man, I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care where you stand on this. I hate politics. I hate it. I hate it. I say, well, you know, Jesus is king. Everybody else, whoop, you're below that. He rules. I don't care what happens. I pray, honest to God, that the Lord would work out elections and he would do whatever he wants to do. But my life is not controlled by the government. My life is controlled by the Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus. Amen. He is the one that leads me every single day, guides me by his Spirit, give me his word, and tells me I'm with you through it all. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, but I will be with you, Dave, no matter what you're going through. It's always better with Jesus. It's always better. And number four, before you can respond to the Lord, you must refocus or recommit yourself unto him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in some of our ways, in all our ways, acknowledge him. Oh, acknowledge Pastor Lisa and Pastor Jamie, and then they'll direct your paths. No, acknowledge Jesus, and he will guide you into all truth and understanding. Amen? And I'm not saying you don't have great pastors. You do. And y'all rock this morning, man. I did not want worship to end. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm horrible because I'm trying to stay right on. Is it 10 o'clock? 5 minutes? 10 o'clock, y'all come on back up here, okay? So I got 5 minutes. All right, so before you're going to respond as a Christian to the Lord, you must be a Christian. I mean, John in chapter 9 says, and we know that God heareth not sinners. Well, it's not like he needs a hearing aid and he can't physically. He is not obligated to do anything he says because they don't belong to him. They're not born again, right? So you have to be born again. You have to have your mind renewed. Amen. We have to rethink a lot. We have to rethink this. Well, can I just lay it down, Pastor Dave, just and tell her what I think? Just for a second, then I'll pick it right back and back. I'll even go to church twice and then go, oh, how I love Jesus. No, don't work like that. Because you're going to feel so bad for saying what you said. You're going to be so guilty, you probably won't go to either service Sunday. And then you're going to feel guilty because the liar's going to start talking to you. It's going to start telling you how bad. Well, you call yourself a Christian and you said that. Now, I don't like to give the devil credit. He gets way too much credit. He's not that good. He's a liar. So if he's talking to you this morning, he's lying to you, okay? But we have to rethink things, and then we need to refocus. And obviously, we need to recommit. We need to get our lives in check. What does the Word of God say, not what does... I used to hear people say, well, Mama always said... I didn't know Mama wrote the Bible. Did Mama write the Bible? What verse was she quoting when she said, well, because... And I love my grandparents... But I'll be like, no, let me see what that says. That's not what that said. Jesus said, love them. Pray for your enemies. Y'all praying for them? We got a lot of them. I don't know if you know it or not. You're not signed up on the wrong team according to the world. You're a bunch of freaks. I say amen. They already call me. Now, see what it is. You're being put in the same category as I am, and you may not be comfortable there. They've been calling me a freak for about 17 years now. You a crazy man. I am. I'm crazy for Jesus. I can't even still believe that he took me and my sin, as dark as it was, and he applied crimson red blood to it, and it washed me white as snow. I still can't understand how good he is, John. I don't understand why a loving God would do that. He said, but I knew that from the beginning. He said, from the foundation of the world, he knew that man was going to choose wrong in the garden. And I hear people say all the time, they want to smack Adam and Eve. And I'm like, you know, why are you smacking Eve? Adam should have said, what are you doing? But I'm thankful that God knew through the span of time that we're going to need help. And what the law did, it just revealed sin. But aren't you glad that we are under a new covenant built on better promises? Hallelujah. That it, the blood of Jesus Christ will cover and cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. And we become declared righteous because of what he did on the cross. Amen. Well, let me tell you what will happen if you do these things this morning. If you will just stand to your feet. If you want to come, and maybe as we were preaching and giving you these four steps, maybe you decided, you know what, Pastor, you know, I do need to. I'm already saved, but I do need to have the Lord renew my thinking, and I need to rethink the way I do things, and I need to refocus and recommit. Maybe if you're feeling like that, you want to come up and pray. We'd love to pray with you this morning. But I know this. When you settle this thing in your spirit on who you serve and whose you are, that I'm telling you, it's going to be a brand new world for you. You won't care what people say about you. You won't care. It'll be like when Paul was over there and just casted out demons in that little girl and all the religious people. And that, she was a fortune teller. Acts chapter 16. And once he cast them demons out, then their money ticket was gone. So they said, hey, we can't have this. So they beat him. Paul and Silas threw them in prison. And at midnight, it said they were singing to God. Yeah, not about God. They were singing to God hymns. Hallelujah. We got beat for Jesus. See them stripes? Oh, but you don't know what Jesus took for me. Hallelujah. And it'll settle it right in heaven right now. It'll settle it. So if you want to come and pray, we'd love to pray with you this morning. But I thank you for giving me this opportunity to give Jesus to you. Listen, we serve an amazing God. And if you are praying for a family member or a loved one this morning, his word says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that works within us. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit working inside of us. We are the temple of God. Amen. And if you have a prayer you need to pray this morning and you want me to pray with you, I'd be glad. I'd be blessed to pray with you. I promise I won't scream at you. I won't try to push you to the floor. I'll just allow the Holy Spirit to come and just minister to you this morning. Won't you come as I turn it over to Pastor Lisa?
Thank you, Lord. Well, that was an encouraging word. Just keep your believers' antennas open and let Holy Spirit to continue to work and minister in your hearts and your minds and whatever issue you have going on. He is able to make all grace abound to you, no matter what situation. He is your provision. He is your healer. And he is the all-perfect, mighty one who abides in you, and you abide in him, and leads you into all truth. And we're just thankful. Thank you that you came out, and we're thankful for Pastor David, and we're thankful for the word. Just let that word permeate, let the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him as you go today. And we'll see you all back, and pray for Jamie and Pastor Wright, and we'll see you Wednesday.